Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we do some Slippery Slope Guy. I miss those bad boys. Very funny. Gina's got to eat your feelings. We got all that coming up. First, I'll tell you about Madison Reed. Madison Reed Mister, that is. So you guys all know about Madison Reed. Well, they make hair coloring for women. Gina loves it. Lynette loves it. This is all good stuff. So they thought, well, what about the fellas? Yeah, why can't we look good? A little less salt, a little more pepper. Why not? Madison Reed Mister. It's a gray blending, natural-looking color. Your hair, your beard, color it, but make it look natural. You can see the before and after shots. They look great. No shoe polish look. And you can just hop on their website. You go there and you go, all right, this is the color of my hair. So you get the right color. And you get a little cardboard package. It's nice. It's neat. You put the gloves on. Put a little hair gel in. It's the color gel. Run that through your hair. Wait 10 minutes. Then rinse and shampoo. And that's it. Bob's your uncle. Right to your door. Madison Reed Mister. Right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMister.com. And use code Adam10 for 10% off. Plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Adam10.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for a brand new month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes a download of Basic Cable Commentary Presents the award-winning Showgirls, a migraine stick, perfect for your hangovers, an ACS logo pop, stick it on your phone, set it and forget it, a keto-friendly and Finney-approved chipmunk cookie to stave off hunger without a burrito, and of course, a bottle of your choice. The $60 value is yours for only $25. Head to CorollaDrinks.com to get 1 month or keep the shipments coming. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the director of Showtime's The Comedy Store, Mike Binder. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, and now, if he wanted to see elderly people interrupt each other, he'd hang out with his parents. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Wow.
Who is that?
Emmanuel Lewis.
I thought it was Pam Adlon.
I did, too.
Oh, no, sorry, Pam Adlon doing Emmanuel Lewis.
Oh, okay.
Well, then now
it is Webster himself.
We all feel better about ourselves. All right, so we'll talk to Binder about this Comedy Store special, which I'm looking forward to. I haven't seen it yet. I'm in it somewhere. We got some calls up there. Also, Max Zapata has dutifully found some more Slippery Slope Guy.
All right.
So those are always kind of fun. As we tape this, they're going to have the debate tonight as we tape this. And I was hanging around with some people the other last night, and they're trying to figure out who's going to win. And it's a wild card because of Trump.
And you mean win the debate or win the election?
No, win the election. No one.
Okay.
I don't even know if anyone.
We
wins
all lose
anything.
The debate
because I literally thought I'm like, does it matter at this point? Who wins
no.
the debate?
No, you know, but I said something, and this is what is the wild card to this group. I said, as far as the polling goes, Biden is ahead, and he's ahead, you know, nicely, comfortably, safely, I think you would call it. Mm-hmm. That's as far as the polling goes. But here's the problem with the polling. Biden's numbers are Biden's numbers. You know, he's not going to go, whatever the poll says Biden's getting, I think that's what he's getting. Mm. Trump has some room over his head.
right.
to go up. So Biden is like against the ceiling, which is fine because his ceiling is above Trump's. The real question is, and nobody really knows the answer to this, is Trump against the ceiling? Is there 2 inches or is there 5 feet? Like, I don't know how much. I know where Biden is. Like, if you said to me, how accurate do you think the Biden polling is? I'd go, seems accurate. He's ahead. But what about Trump? Now, if Biden was running against Mitt Romney, I'd go, okay, he's at 49% and Romney's at 47%. And I wouldn't picture in the metaphor the room, the ceiling height. Like, okay, when you're hitting the ceiling, you're maxed out.
Right.
I don't know how much space there is between Trump's red head and the actual ceiling. And that's the rub.
In like a Bradley effect kind of way that people aren't being honest with the pre-polling. Just want to be clear about this.
Yeah, like a Tom Bradley, I don't know, Sam Yorty. I can't remember what the deal was. But
people aren't being forthcoming about who they'll be voting.
Tom Bradley was the mayor of Los Angeles for, I don't know, 31 years or something. I mean,
he has an international wing of the airport.
I know. Black man was one of the early, I guess, African-American mayors. But I guess the Bradley effect was a lot of people said they were voting for Bradley because it's Los Angeles and you're trying to be progressive and you want to be cool. You know, like I'm voting. And then when they got into the booth, I guess they didn't vote for Bradley. So, yes, right. That Bradley effect. It's not an answerable question. I'm just saying if you look at it this way, Bradley was 73-93. Wow. 20-year run, man. If you look at it that way, it's an interesting way to look at it. Yeah. So Biden's ahead. Biden's comfortably ahead. And if he was running against Romney, it'd be a done deal. But the real question is does Trump, or maybe Trump doesn't move at all. But I have question marks. I'm curious how much space there is above his head.
Yeah, that's the last real question about within the polling community. I have been weirdly obsessed with the polls and just good or bad or up or down or whatever. And yeah, there's like, is there such thing as the shy Trump voter? The covering what you're talking about, the Trump voter who will refuse to tell the pollster the truth.
I think so.
That's a debate. We'll see, I guess, in about a week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's an
2 weeks. Oh, 10 days.
There's a little element of, all right, I run this YMCA, so I'm glad you all gathered here. First off, show of hands. Who's a pedophile? Okay. Okay, zero. Fantastic. Zero.
Apt analogy.
Fantastic. Zero. All right, then we can go camping. Let's do this. But boys, get in your underpants. We're going camping. Like,
nobody put their hand up.
A couple of those guys out there don't want to raise their hand, I think, is what's going on. Yes.
I know this. It's going to be funny because by the time people hear this, the debate will be such old news. But it's funny that we're having someone coming on to talk about the Comedy Store, because all I picture tonight, since the mic is cut off, but that doesn't mean someone's mouth is talking and you can't hear them. It's just going to sound like heckling, heckling.
That's a good observation, Gina, because a skill these two men are going to have to master quickly. Hopefully, we'll know by the time you'll hear this is. This is just how it happens in debates. No matter who you are, where you are, what level, you're going to go over time and to finish your thought. It just happens. But you're going to sound like an idiot if you're still talking when the mic goes to mute.
Right.
So you got to hit the post, as we know in the radio industry.
Right.
Well, maybe we should do it like the Comedy Store back in the day, which is we'll have a caricature of Eddie Cantor's head, and when it lights up, you got to tell your last joke and get off the stage.
Wind it down.
All right. So let's see. So Max Zapata's got some slippery slope guys, which I think translates into the audio world pretty easily. I don't know where'd you find these things, Max Zapata?
There's some on YouTube, and it should be noted that a lot of people think these come from the Mansion, but they actually come from your late night show. You had a lot along with the 1780s guy.
Right. These were bumpers.
Yeah, exactly. So, here, let's listen to one.
You,
And now, an editorial from Slippery Slope Guy on animal rights.
Do I think animals should suffer unnecessarily? Of course not. But it's a slippery slope. The next thing you know, those baby wipes you thought were safe have permanently disfigured your infant son. While Wiggles the rabbit is living on government-subsidized cabbage, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
I love the turn. Sure.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I had to work the turn to the other camera in on the move. All right, we got another one.
Yeah, I got flag burning here. Let me.
Oh wait, didn't we do flag?
I think we did that.
Medical marijuana.
Oh, okay.
Now an editorial from Slippery Slope Guy on medical marijuana.
Does marijuana have some medical value? Maybe. But it's a slippery slope. First, your doctor's prescribing pot for your mother's glaucoma. Then he's treating your kid's head lice with hashish. And the next thing you know, a gang of government-funded hippies has stormed your house and forced your infant to mainline a speedball, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it!
Those acting chops.
I was going to say, that's the most passionate I think I've ever seen you.
The crescendo.
I had
really
a lot of energy back then. It was my youth. All right, do you have one more?
I'm not ready. I got to load that
one up. Okay, because burning the flag was one we already got. All right, we got some calls up there. So let's see. Wants to talk about satisfaction, volunteering, coaching. Good, because I got an article that's sort of on the heels of that. Victor, 38, upstate New York.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on? Let's talk about satisfaction and volunteering and coaching.
Yeah, I'm piggybacking off of your discussion yesterday with how you just called that lady out of the blue, and it was satisfying. I get the same feeling from coaching little kids, especially right now.
Yeah, the lady I called had a terminally ill child, and I just called her. Yes, that call. Thank you.
Yeah, it's doing the free stuff, you know, right. Satisfying. Right now, kids are stuck in class or at home all day, especially, you know, during all this quarantine stuff. And they need to get out there. They need that good role model out in the world. And I think coaching sports is a great way for the parents and the kids to really get that satisfaction.
The you cannot underestimate the value of organized sports at a young age. And as a matter of fact, whenever I sort of think about people and I kind of critique them and I sort of see how they are as adults or employees or just whatever, it always gets back to that. Did they play a lot of sports? Were they in ROTC? Were they involved with a bunch of disciplines? You know, because I don't know, how would you expect a dog to act? You know, my dog Phil is, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old. He's a lazy piece of unbridled shit now, and he was when he was 2, because we never really coached him up. You know what I mean? He just is who he is. Why would you expect someone to go through life with no coaching, no discipline, no repetition, no drilling, you know, none of that stuff, and then somehow they're 28 and they're supposed to be model employees? Like, why would they be?
Right.
Stuck in a state of arrested development for whenever they didn't get that, you know, crucial coaching, leadership, guidance, whatever.
Well, also, like, is it even arrested development? It's like, I don't know how to play the piano. And the answer to why I don't know how to play the piano is no one ever taught me how to play the piano. It'd be insane to think I could play the piano. Just like, you're an adult, Adam. You're smart. You like music. Like, yeah, but I don't know how to do this thing. No one ever taught it to me. Why would it be that much different if you really think about like a discipline or, you know, that sort of motivation, that discipline, that self-reliance or that teamwork? You know, why would you be good at teamwork if you never were on a team?
That's a really good point, because we've actually bumped up against this exact thing with the 5-year-old who is used to us saying, you know, sometimes like, oh, it's okay. You don't know how to do it because kids don't know how to do that. You know, I'm a grown up. I know how to do that. But that there's a whole swath in the middle that we failed to tell him. So, you know, when he's trying to kick a soccer ball, he doesn't know how. He goes, well, I'll just know how when I'm a grown up. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I meant I've had all these years to practice doing the thing I'm doing. So that's why I know how to do it now.
Yeah.
He just thinks it'll just come. I literally just had this conversation.
Brian.
What's interesting, I'm going to give Gina a compliment here. What's interesting is, of course, sports is the easiest way for this to manifest itself. But, like, Gina, you did theater for God knows how many years. You learned all the same things. Responsibility to the group, right. That'll learn your lines. Teamwork, accountability, all the showing up on time, putting in the work. All these things that you learn through sports.
You're on time, you're late.
Exactly. All these things you learn through sports, which, of course, is the sort of most structured, easiest way to get them. You're going to learn it through with learning an instrument. A theater, so many different disciplines.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. It's really just a discipline with an attempt at mastery and repetition. That's really all this is. The part that I realize is so kind of misleading, and so many humans get caught up in this world, which is when you're 9, you go, well, when I'm grown up, you're physically saying, like, grown up, when I'm bigger and I'm stronger, like, I'm an adult, I will then know this or be able to perform this or do this. And it's true that your body will change, but your mind is not going to change that much if you're not doing these activities or these disciplines. And I think a lot of people, at least I went to junior high and high school with a lot of these people, where they just kind of thought being an adult just meant, I think the way they looked at it is like it was like a vegetable garden, and like you start off as a seed and then you're a little sapling. And then at some point I'm going to have big ears of corn hanging off of me. But the reality is you will grow up. You will, that all that stuff will physically happen, but you don't have to bear any fruit.
Hold on.
You really don't. You can just physically grow up. You can be like a garden that just grows, but there's no harvest. Like, there's never a harvest. You think about all the guys I went to high school with. Oh, they grew up, but there's no harvest day.
No harvest.
No, because they were just figuring, well, once I grow up and I become this big stalk, then I can do what I want. It's like, yeah, but not if you never had any training or any education or any experience or any dedication. Yes, Brian.
Now, footnote, you mentioned when you described the fan of the show you talked to, Olga's friend, that you get out of it what you put in. It's so gratifying to just take that time and do it. I coached youth sports. I did 2 years of coaching JV football. It's one of the best jobs I ever had. I loved it. I look forward to it. I got paid like some little amount. I would have given it back. Yeah, you know what I mean? It was just that much. I got that much out of it.
Agreed. Hey, Victor, thanks for volunteering. What sport? It's not soccer, is it?
I do pretty much whatever the kids are playing.
But not soccer.
Flag football, baseball, basketball, whatever the kids are into right now.
Yeah, I don't need a new generation of soccer players. Although I got to say that the flag football thing, I was when my son did it, I was fairly disgusted.
Rather have a soccer playing son than a flag football.
Yeah, son. I was disgusted.
Same.
Because the thing that, by the way, this is why I'm the worst person to watch anything with. Like, these kids were 11, 12 years old. 12 years old, they're out there in the middle of the field, and the coach is in the huddle with them. And, like, when I was 12 years old, I was in my fifth year Pop Warner football, we were in bantams. We were signaling in plays from the sideline. They were running plays in, like alternating the guards. We were calling snap counts and doing, hook and ladder moves and Statue of Liberty and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we had trick plays. Like, nice. we kicked extra points. We kicked field goals. Like, we went out and fucking executed. Like, I was the captain of the defensive team, and there were like flashing signs like 6-1, 4-2, gap 8, and I was communicating with them with hand signals from the middle of the field. Like, the fucking coach wasn't standing out in the middle of the field with all of us. Ugh. Blah. Anyway, It's so insane that my son has never played. Oh, there's Sonny catching a football.
Look at that. Oh, going airborne.
Yeah.
The gloves.
Of course. It's so insane that my son has never played Pop Warner football when my entire life, all I've said is, the only thing that saved my life was Pop Warner football. It was the most important thing in my entire life. And my son has never put on, strapped on the shoulder pads and a helmet.
Well, to be fair to him, he doesn't need his life saved. That's living pretty good.
Oh, he's got the Vita Loca thing going 24/7, that boy.
Just from the picture, I'm going to say prototypical possession receiver.
Yes.
Not a lot of yak.
Well, you know, I would sell him as not a lot of flat-out foot speed, but super lazy.
There you go.
That'd be my pitch for Sonny as a possession receiver. All right, let's see. We got some calls up there. You can bring the monitor back. Sorry, I can't see the calls up there. And if you have a slippery slope guy, you can pull that as well. Let's see.
I have a slippery slope.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, you want to watch it?
Sure. I'm fucking in love. I don't know which one I love more, slippery slope guy or 1780s guy, but they make me laugh, and they're all 28 seconds, so how bad could they be?
All right, this one's gun control.
Gun control.
Slippery slope guy on gun control.
Does gun control make sense? Maybe. But it's a slippery slope. First, they outlaw the 40-round banana clip. Then they take away your son's BB gun. And the next thing you know, jackbooted government thugs are surrounding your house, and you're left to defend your family with a spork, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
Were these all one-take wonders?
Yeah, I think we would just write up like 20 of them, and I would just do them in a row and turn, probably do a take or two. I don't remember doing that many takes on it. We just shot it on a soundstage and just put that desk down. And I don't know where I even got the – well, I know where I got the idea. I've been complaining about Slippery Slope Guy for a long time. We have an ant guy on here, and boy, do we need an ant guy. I got to tell you, I said to Lynette today, I said, there's goddamn ants in my office. There are ants all over the outside by the pool. We woke up this morning. There are ants in the kitchen. And when I was driving, and looking over one of my buck slips, where I'm always frantically jotting down notes, it's either jokes or things to do or whatever it is. As I'm driving my car, I look over and there's an ant on my passenger seat because it was on my buck slip. And there's not a goddamn thing you can. And I'm like, what the fuck with the ants? And okay, so Scott over here from New Jersey is going to give us a satisfying ant answer, unlike our last query into this. Scott, 50, New Jersey.
Adam, get it on. Thanks.
Hi, guy.
How you doing? I'm going to try to do better than the last guy. The last guy was painful.
I know.
Ants are large colonies. They're like an army. You don't send the whole army out. You only send certain ants out to get food. So you got to attack the colony. The only way to do that is to put bait out. You got to put bait out so the ants bring the bait. It's either in a gel form or a granular form back to the colony. And then when they eat it at the colony, that's how you kill them. If you spray the ones you see and kill them, they're not bringing anything back to the colony, to the base.
Right.
To put a dent on the colony.
All right.
You have to put granular bait or the gel out. The gel's like a caulk. You can put it right in the corners because the ants like to walk, you know, along the corners and stuff, and they'll bring it right back to the nest. You're never going to get rid of them, but you'll do. That's the best way to control them.
Right, so get the gel. What about those little gel sort of clear little houses?
I have those.
That's
one right now.
Yeah. That's perfect. Yeah, because that's a bait. They're bringing it back to the colony.
Yeah, they got to bring it. They got to bring it back. I was thinking to myself,
killing them. The ones you see is really going to do nothing. You have to get it back to the colony.
All right, but once they're in your car and you're more than 11 miles from your home, I think it's okay to kill them, right? There's no way they're finding their way back to the colony at that point, or is that okay? Okay.
It's like gambling at sea. You're 11 miles out,
right?
You can do
you're
it.
In international now waters.
Talking.
I always think about what horrible ants my friends from high school would make. Because there wouldn't be any bringing it back to the colony. They'd just be, if they found food, they'd fucking eat that food where they were and just die. You'd never get rid of the colony with Ray and Chris. That's for goddamn sure. All right, let's see. We got, Eat Your Feelings will do after the break, right, Max Pata?
Yep.
Let me hit LifeLock here. October is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Remember, if you connect it, protect it. Take proactive steps to enhance your cybersecurity. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day, we put our information at risk on the internet. You can miss certain threats by just monitoring your credit alone. Good thing, there's LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information, they will send you an alert. So protect yourself. Get the industry standard. It's almost 2021, people. Get yourself some LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
All right, Max Pata, on the heels of volunteering and the for the coach job, I had an article that I liked, which is the importance of working for free, which is something I've always had a problem with, because we've sort of declared this war on like interns and you shouldn't be working for free, and this sort of notion where it's like, well, you show up at the company and all you're doing is getting these guys coffee and going on runs to Staples. Like, oh, okay, yeah, right. What do you want them to do? Operate the gantry crane? They're fucking 19. They don't know what the fuck they're doing. It's like, yes, they are getting coffee. Yes, they are going to Staples, and they're basically acclimating themselves. Like we were talking about, Gina, you were talking about acclimation with the food, with the dough, with that world. I was talking about acclimation with the hardwood flooring. You have to put it in its environment. You are acclimating. You're getting into that environment and you're acclimating. The first and most important thing you're doing is when the boss walks down the hall, he doesn't go, who the fuck are you? He goes, hey, Bob. Hey, John. Hey, Steve. Hey, Susie. You know, like he knows you're there.
Right.
So this notion of that's it's the best thing you could do is work for free. And when people go, well, yeah, but what if you can't afford it? You can't afford not to work for free. That's what this podcaster has to say. So you have that article?
Yeah. Sorry. So this was sent to you, and it was an article by Jonathan Bales from his site Lucky Maverick, and he's like a fantasy sports expert statistician. And the main points are you need to work for free more often because it provides value to the maximum number of people the more you work for free. And like, for instance, Adam, you have that great story about Michael Naren, who used to do all those animations and drawings for you in Loveline, and he provided value to you, and now he worked for free for you, and now he's that Family Guy.
I walked that MFR right into Family Guy moments, I don't mean moments, but 2 hours before his flight at LAX, I just said, we're going up to Family Guy. And I walked him right in there. I said, you need to hire this guy. Here's what he does. Showed him some of his stuff. The guy was like living in mama's basement on the East Coast. And he's up here living large now at the Family Guy. And every time I'd go in there, I'd just see him now. He's got all the, I don't know what you call them, but proofs and all the rough stuff, you know, all this. He's got all the episodes before they become episodes. And I don't know what that guy's pulling down a year, but I'm guessing he's making great money. Family Guy, if anyone's ever been in there, it's one big ping pong tournament and a kitchen filled with food and fucking big time celebrities just kind of waltzing through the place. I mean, it is a, you know, this close to being Pixar in terms of a work environment. He loves his job, and it's only because he did all those bits for us for free for all those years. So, yeah, sorry, Max Banner.
Yeah, and then other ideas he talked about was, do you know who works for free all the time are entrepreneurs? And the people who never work for free but gets paid for every hour they put in are employees.
Right.
So if you – and he has this really good chart that kind of just shows the difference between – and I'll put it up on the screen here, and we'll put it on adamcarolla.com, of just the value over time for just in months for entrepreneurs and employees. Entrepreneurs will start lower, but they have a much higher ceiling because they would work for free and, once again, have a maximum value to a maximum number of people. Working for free is a form of gambling. It can be extremely beneficial or be a giant waste of time, but when done properly, it's trading in the sure thing for a lower chance of short-term success, but disproportionate future rewards when things go your way.
And also, you know, the stuff that doesn't work, you know, the millions and millions of show ideas or movies or pitches I've done. I've done pitches and pitches and drive across here and go to Apple and go to Sony and pitch and pitch and pitch. And it's like never got paid, cost a lot in gas, took up a lot of time. But I learned something at all those meetings. You know, you go, well, so if nothing comes of it, well, then it was a waste. But it's like, well, what is nothing? Like you got better at pitching. You got in a room with people. You're involved with the process. Like how could it be nothing? Nothing is staying in bed.
Well, and on the micro and macro of what you just said, what you experienced and being an intern, if you didn't learn anything, that's kind of on you.
It's true.
Agreed.
Adam, you declared 18 months ago on this very show you were done going to pitches.
I am.
Because he learned.
He learned.
Fuck them. Oh, I went to 10,000, and thank God the Zoom thing. Thank God everything's just gone Zoom now. But yes, at the stage I was at in my career, it was a waste. It is not a waste, depending on what stage you're at. But just like I wouldn't go, you know, put my resume in for, you know, a local morning zoo radio thing, just not at the stage I'm at. But yes, I've still been to 10 fucking thousand pitches, and there's no more I could learn about pitches other than all executives are fucking assholes with no imagination and zero respect for the art of comedy. That's what I learned. I learned that they're pompous, arrogant, overpaid dillweeds who put their foot through a fucking Rembrandt. That's what I learned.
Wow.
And there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
That's good.
All right, let's see. Let me just blow through our last two calls here, and then we'll get to Gina's. Gina's offering. There's a toaster oven here. Does that have anything to do with Gina's offering?
No, fortunately. Emmy heated his lunch.
You
know, have to work this out that we can do a drop off, because this is insane. We just talked.
Who
about
knew
it.
The workplace was going to turn into like I tripped over someone's hibachi. Who was that? Steve's brining.
Chris started it by boiling meat.
Well, yeah, I stepped out of the studio and I kicked a crock pot. Who's got it? No, that's a slow cooker. What is this thing where everyone's bringing in toaster ovens and hibachis and sous vide slow cookers? Ooh, and this is work.
I just got an air fryer. I can drop it off.
God damn it.
Microwave. Pot.
They have Subway. It's a place called Subway. It's here for a reason. It's so you don't have to unpack your fucking kitchen into your place of work. You know, who do we blame, Gina? Who do we blame for this?
I hope it's not me.
No, it's your best friend, Domagoy. How? I fucking put that one at your feet and you punted it like Charlie Brown.
In a million years, I wouldn't have thought about Domagoy again for the rest of my life. You're right. You're right.
Domagoy's
Domagoy.
He's the guy we used to work with at KLSX. First things first. No one knows. He's like the legend of that song, Big John. You got to find that song, Big John. No one knows where he came from. No one knows what he did.
He has no origin.
It turns out he may have gotten a fight over a Cajun queen and sent a Louisiana man packing.
He's
from parts unknown.
Croatia.
He literally killed a man in Louisiana, and that's all I know. I don't know what his job was. Big Dom.
Every morning at the mine, you can
show over the crock pot. Got Louisian rice and Cajun beans. Shoulder and narrow to hip, and everyone knows.
Didn't give no limb to Domagoy.
Big Dom. Big Dom. Big Bad Dom.
Nobody seemed to know where John called home. He just
killed a man over a bouillon cube.
He'd show up to work early 2 hours so he could cook his lunch in front of the other shows.
Somebody said he came from New Orleans
with three Tupperware and some cream.
Crash and blow from a huge right hand sent a Louisiana fella to the promised land. Big John.
Big Dom.
Big John.
Keep going, Dawson. This is making me laugh. He cooked in our kitchen the whole time at KLSX.
Zesty flavors and scents from all over.
Well, we all tried to tell him, but Dom didn't care that his staging area was our production office. Through the kitchen, right through the window, we saw him cooking gravy. Big John.
Big
the
Dom.
The smoke of this man-made hell walked a giant of a man the miners knew well. Grabbed
with a
Ken, timber, gave
with
out
a George Foreman like grill, and
he just stood there alone.
Big Dom. All right, I'm tired of my own premise, but that guy came in. That guy cooked his ass off every day.
A lot of curries, a lot of za'atar.
Jesus Christ! Do you guys feel
savory dishes?
I know. I feel breakfast. Breakfast is. You know, they say it's the most important meal of the day. I think it's the most intimate meal of the day.
Mm.
It's the only thing you eat without your bra on. You know what I mean, Gina?
Amen.
Gotcha. Yes.
And you kind of, you know, you're in your sweatpants, no shoes, yeah. You know, maybe a little chubby from the night before. Like it's an intimate food. You know what I mean? Lunch, that's for everybody. You go out to lunch, everyone watches you eat lunch. Lunch truck, eating lunch, dinner, all that. Brunch, fine. Breakfast is personal.
So to that point, lunch and dinner often catch as can. You know, let's order something, let's grab something on the go in between meetings or whatever. Breakfast is like, it's ritualistic. You have the same thing every day for the most part.
Right. And they usually don't involve curry or garbanzo beans.
Or at least not in the Mid-Wilshire area.
But Dom would drag all that shit in, put it all, set it all up, and then explain, I'm eating breakfast.
He would bring ingredients to salad dressing in separate shit and mix it at the table.
Oh, yeah.
He was ahead of his time, man.
He was like the professor.
Raw egg and a Caesar dressing.
He was like the professor from
side Caesar. Yeah.
He was like the professor from the Gilligan's Island show. It's just, you know, you can go outside and buy a sandwich, don't you? You can get off the island. You don't have to make everything out of coconuts right here.
He was a survivalist.
Jesus Christ.
Did I ever tell you that for his birthday one year, his parents gave him a chicken?
No.
A live chicken as a pet?
Oh, God, that sounds... I'm surprised he didn't gut it right there where we did our post-show meetings. Ugh. Anyway, so Emmy brings in his toaster oven, right?
Well, that's the studio's toaster oven. It's actually buried underneath.
Oh, he pulls it out.
He pulls it out, yeah.
So he dusts off the toaster oven, leaves the fucking door open, which says open for business to me. Then I'm riding in, and Chris is like, we're doing Eat Your Feelings. And I go, oh, good, I'm starving. And then I think, oh, no, Gina does them remotely now. And then I walk in, I see this toaster oven presenting itself to me. And I go, oh, they figured out a way to bring the mountain to Muhammad. This is going to be good, but just bad timing with the toaster oven, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
If it's any consolation, I feel terrible right now.
No, I mean, good. All right, clean the screen up. Mike, Ben from Michigan and Sam from Philly. Sorry, we're going to take a break. We'll come right back. We'll do Eat Your Feelings right after this.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam. Gina was just talking about little people that are really good at eating contests. When I was in college, I was on the rowing team, and we would have mixers with the women's softball team. And we had a little competition called a boat race. You line up 8 guys and 8 women, and everyone had to chug a beer sequentially, and whoever finished first was the winner. Never have a chugging contest against a women's softball team. They are animals. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
All right, Gina, what kind of splendid offering have you provided for us?
Gina Grads, Eat Your Feelings, brought to you by Home Chef.
It's time for Eat Your Feelings. Do some healthy eating with Gina's recipes.
So thank all of the gods and everything you pray to that the heat wave seems to be broken, knock on wood. And there's a little, I wouldn't say a chill in the air, but the temperature is definitely coming down. We might get some rain this weekend. And it was perfect timing because I did one of Home Chef's chowders. I love a chowder, a clam chowder, a whatever. I don't know anyone who doesn't. And I'd love to show you the picture that they sent me. But unfortunately, we had some water on the counter and the menu got stuck to the counter.
If you tell me you don't like chowder, we can't hang.
Absolutely.
I will judge a man. Also, I'm open to corn chowder, clam chowder. You put whatever. You put chowder at the end. I'm down.
I'm glad you said that because that's one of the points. I realized two very important things while making Home Chef's chowder, which they said was intermediate. It's not. It was pretty simple. I think because you have to boil something. Maybe they thought they wanted to go easy on people, but it was very easy.
One of the staples as I now comb through the wreckage of my past is the Campbell soup chowder.
That's another thing I'm going to get into.
Because you would add milk to it versus water, and it just seemed like, oh, that seems better than
that's gourmet.
Essentially tap water, just filling up the pot. But yes, my young life could be sectioned off into Kraft mac and cheese, the Campbell's chowder can, and then Hungry Man, chicken
dinner.
Fried chicken dinner. Yeah, go ahead.
That's right. So this was a scallop and corn chowder with crispy jalapenos. I don't know what genius thought to put these together, but I commend them. I have some pictures as well. I cooked this. It took me about 25 minutes from soup to nuts. It was a scallop chowder. Now, that was my first point is kind of what Adam was saying. Show the other pictures as well. The collective, all of us, never, ever, ever have to open a can of chowder again for the rest of our lives. I've never made a chowder before now. It was so good. You wouldn't feed canned chowder to your dog anymore after you make it yourself. All you need, cream, water, broth, and fixins. That's it. That's your chowder. And I couldn't eat this fast enough. Now, first of all, this one did have potatoes in it. I can't tell you the last time I had a potato. But if I were making it, I would have probably used a little almond flour, a little cauliflower. No. We're doing it their way. And it was so scrumptious.
Do you remember the Three Stooges when Mo would call everyone chowderheads?
Oh, I do. I grew up on that.
Chowderhead.
I did.
Bonk.
Come on, chowder. I don't know why. That's gone the way of the dodo.
I'm guessing this is intermediate because of the scallops. Scallops are tricky. You got to brown those guys without, making them tough.
Yeah, and it's really just a minute or two on each side. It didn't even take seasoning. You just want to brown them up and toss them in the bowl. The ingredients for this one had potato, corn, onion, and then, the broth and scallops. It was very simple, and then there was this fun little crispy jalapeno garnish to put over the top. But very simple, the way you want it to be. If you order it at a restaurant, this is what you expect. Now, clam chowder is what we all know, and it's delicious, and there's no problem there. But I would like to submit that the scallop adds a sweetness that you didn't know you were missing until you put it in a soup like this. Delicious, soft, sweet, creamy. The weather's changing, and I want to thank Home Chef so much for making me realize for the first time that cans are for everybody else. We don't do cans anymore. We make it fresh, and thank you to Home Chef for letting me figure that out, even in my older age.
Yeah, I've never made a move on chowder. I always think of it as a can, but it's just cream. I mean,
cream,
the base is just water, cream.
Broth.
And broth.
Yeah. And a lot of times, a lot of recipes call for flour to thicken it into like a roux. This didn't have flour. So this did have potatoes, which is a starch, which is a natural thickener. And I used a potato masher just to get it creamier. Thank you. But you can use a coconut flour and almond flour, and you just don't want it to be soupy. You know, you want it to have some thickness to it. But there's plenty of ways to do that without using flour. And please, this season, let's all make a promise to each other. Don't sleep on chowder.
All right. Let's bring it home here.
Eat your feelings. Do some healthy eating with Gina's recipe.
Brought to you by Home Chef.
Yeah, thanks, Home Chef. You can visit homechef.com/Adam. Here's a thought, had me thinking about food. I was invited over to Dave Rubin's house for dinner last night in the Rubin Report. That Dave Rubin, very nice guy, friendly guy, invited a few of us over. And I was talking to his husband, and his husband was very nice guy.
David.
Yes. So it's not confusing. Man, it is the risk you take when you go gay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a roll of the dice. You could have two guys named Dave. Yeah. The other's hepatitis C. And yeah. But the point is he was telling me just how into cooking he was.
He's an incredible cook. David puts me to shame. He is really, really like chef level.
That's what he said. He said he's fuck of a lot better than you are. That's as I recall.
Right.
And he's that guy where you go, fuck, I wish I was gay. Like he goes, we didn't have a lot of money when we were living in New York. So like I would go down to the restaurant and I'd like take a picture of what was on the menu. And then I'd go back to the apartment and try to, you know, recreate it, you know. And I was like, God, I fucking love that. Super sweet couple. And so we ate, got a big Wagyu side of beef and threw it on the char broiler. Actually, Dave Rubin was in charge of the grill. But anyway, fantastic. Real gourmet meal. Loved it. Great conversation, so on and so forth. The subject came up, which is being gay and, you know, whether it's a decision. And nobody there believes it's a decision, but there are people out there that believe it's a decision. And we were sort of laughing that some people think it's a decision when it seems so clearly not, you know, so clearly out of your control. And I said, how about this point for it not being a decision? Forget about being gay. Within the heterosexual community, some guys love tits. Some guys are just fucking tit guys. Some guys are ass guys. Some guys like tall chicks. Some guys like curvy. Like, I don't like the big, round, big, bulbous ass sort of Kardashian. Like, that's not my thing. That's not a choice. I'm not making a choice. That's who I am. And the guy who loves the big, bulbous ass, we're not deciding that. It's not a choice at all. I mean, just within the heterosexual community, whether you like the blondes or the brunettes or the sort of dark skin exotics or the busty gals or the curvy gals or the thick gals or the thin gals, I don't think it's ever been. I don't know any guy who's made that decision. It just is. Is there anybody, you know, any male, you know, who weaned himself off of a big ass and got himself onto a bony ass or something?
As like a conscious choice? No, of course not.
No, I mean, you think about what everyone likes. Like, if you went and looked up everyone's YouPorn history, that would be what they like.
Called perverted justice.
And there shall be no deviation from that. That is it. Nobody made a choice. Did anyone make a choice? Does anyone feel like they made a choice in that department as to what they're attracted to?
No, it's what you're into. You know, I know guys that like, you know, we all know the guy that likes Asian chicks, like, you know, the yellow fever, and they can air quotes. That's just, some guys are into that, and you're not going to talk them into or out of it.
Right, or just the parts, eyes, yeah. Saps. But the point is this.
Hey, Adam, I go for the smile.
The point is this. If that's not a choice, even within heterosexuality, we don't get a choice, then how could you get a choice beyond that? That's my argument. Everyone thought that was That's a decent argument.
Well done.
Yeah, thank you. Of course, I just ate $70 worth of those homo's beef. What the fuck was I going to do? Tell them how I truly felt? Come on. All right, we have another slippery slope guy. Oh, we have gay marriage.
Yeah.
Holy shit, we're just sitting around talking about them being married.
I felt that this was appropriate.
Now, an editorial from Slippery Slope Guy on gay marriage.
Should all people have the same rights and privileges under the law? Sure. But it's a slippery slope. First, it's two fellas tying the knot. Then the next thing you know, a guy wants to marry a donkey or a shoe buffer or a vending machine. And there's not a damn thing we can do about it.
Shoe buffer.
The fellow wants to marry a shoe buffer. All right. I miss those two. All right. We got Mike Binder, who did, well, he's done many movies, many big movies, but he's done the Comedy Store documentary, the five-parter. So he's on hold. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Mike right after this.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.